Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Gardaí are continuing to question Islamic State supporter Lisa Smith following the extension of her period of detention earlier today. The former member of the Defence Forces is being questioned for a second day at Kevin Street Garda station after she was deported from Turkey on Sunday. She's been arrested on suspicion of terrorist offences, but her case could give rise to some unique legal issues here. In a moment, I'll speak to Senior Counsel Michael O'Higgins, but earlier I spoke to Peter Fitzpatrick, the independent TD for Louth and East Meath, and I first asked him about the Smith family and his involvement with them.
Originally what happened maybe was the Smith family contacted me because I'm the local TD in the area. I'm also an ex-member of the 27th Battalion Army here in Dundalk. The family was in contact with Lisa in Syria, and Lisa was in a war zone with a two-year-old child, and Lisa wanted to come home. Lisa told the family that she was never a part of any terrorist activity or any organisation. She was never a member of ISIS. She never carried a gun, but she did marry an Islamic State man. But she said, listen, the child and herself was in a very dangerous position, and she wanted to come home, and she asked them for help. But in turn, the family contacted me, which I contacted then the Minister of Simon Courtney, the Tarnisher, and Minister of Foreign Affairs. I rang him and I met him and explained the situation to him, and I gave him the number for the Smith family, and Simon contacted the Smith family, and there we are, Lisa Smith is home on Sunday morning.
They must have been beside themselves with anxiety about Lisa and her little girl, I suppose, that they had never seen. Over the years she was away, did they have regular contact?
Yes, they used to ring in a kind of a weekly or monthly basis. As you said, Mary, they never actually met the grandchild. Well, the good news at the moment is the grandchild is back in the dark with Lisa's family, and that's the right place for her. Lisa has put her hands up from day one. She says that when she comes home, she'll be willing to testify to clear her name. At the moment, she's over 24 hours in custody. Yesterday, she had two four-hour interviews with the special Garda. She's working closely with him to clear her name.
And we don't know what's going to happen. As you say, the detention is ongoing, the questioning is ongoing, and we have to await the outcome of that. But would the family like to see Lisa back at home with them now in Dundalk, isn't it?
The family do believe Lisa. Lisa went to Syria back in 2015. The family didn't want her to go, but she went. She married an Islamic fighter. He was killed in the wars over there. For the last good few months, she'd been on a war zone campsite in Syria. She was fearing really, really for her child, and she wanted to come home. She'd nobody over there. She put her hands up in the air. I never spoke to Lisa. I don't know whether Lisa is innocent or not innocent. Mm-hmm. The family contacted me as a local TD, and basically what I'm saying is she's had an opportunity. She's home now. And if she is found to be not guilty, I don't see a problem why Lisa shouldn't be allowed to come home to her tender than dog. Mm. The family want a home. A lot of neighbours want a home. But there's a lot of people in the area that don't want a home. But I'm just going to say, please God, if she's found guilty, she won't be allowed to come home. She'll have to pay the penalty. If she is found not guilty, she should be allowed to come home.
Is that difference of opinion creating any difficulty for her parents or for her brother?
Of course it is. The family lived in the dark all their lives, and Lisa was here as well. Lisa was in the 27th battalion, mm-hmm. sorry, in the army from 2000 to 2011. She had plenty of friends, plenty of activities. She got involved in the local community. She joined the Muslims then in the 2012, but I'm just trying to put all the whole thing together because I'm listening to so much media questions and answers. I'm also listening to the family's questions and answers. But the bottom line, I think that what the whole country wants, and especially people in the Dublin and surrounding area, they just want to know the truth. Is she a terrorist? Is it safer to come back to the Dundalk? These are questions that's been asked by the special guards there at the moment. I think for the last, since 2012, they've been doing a dossier. They've been in Europe, Africa, the Middle East, even in America. They've been everywhere, finding out all the information they can and gather about Lisa. Lisa still maintains that she's innocent, and I hope for the family's sake that she is innocent and that Lisa is able to come home and join our child in the dock.
Have the Garda interviewed her family?
Well, the Garda has been working very closely with the family for the last couple of months, so I presume they have interviewed the family.
And I wonder, does the family have any documentation or laptops or anything like that that they can supply to An Garda Síochána to help vindicate Lisa's good name?
Well, as far as I know, the guards talk about whatever phones they had at the time. And I thought, like, you know, she's been texting the family, she's been calling the family. And I believe that the Garda over the last few months has taken whatever phones they have there at the moment.
You have to represent all of the people in County Louth, the people who don't want her home, I suppose, as much as those who are quite happy if everything checks out, that she be returned. Does that put you in a difficult position? What are people who do not want her back? What are they saying to you?
Well, I've been walking in the street in Dundalk there, and this woman came up to me there recently and said to me, I think it's a disgrace that you're trying to help the Smith family get Lisa home. And I just told him and said, oh, I don't know what your name is, but I guarantee you one thing. If you come into my constituency office and you told me the story that the Smith family told me and you asked me for my help, I said, I'd do the exact same for you. So she just told him and said, listen, and just walked off then.
You have a Muslim community as well in County Louth. Sheikh Al-Qadri this morning saying that her return, it's a very difficult situation, he said, one very uncomfortable for the Muslim community. Have you heard from them in your constituency?
In fairness, in my constituency office, a lot of Muslims come into my office and I do have them. Like, Dundalk has roughly about 600 Muslims in here.
Just finally, because you're a former military man, you're a politician, do you believe she has a case to answer?
I don't think it'd be fair on me answering the question, because honestly, I don't know, because as I said, I don't want to be the judge and jury here at the moment.
And that's Peter Fitzpatrick, the independent TD for Meath and for Louth and East Meath. He was speaking to me a little earlier on. I'm joined by Senior Counsel Michael O'Higgins now. Michael O'Higgins, good evening.
Good evening, Mary.
Lisa Smith is being held on suspicion of terrorist offences. Can you tell us about the relevant legislation here?
I can. It's fairly complicated, but I suppose the starting point is that most offences that are tried in the Irish courts are offences that are committed within Ireland. Small number of offences where you can be tried for committing acts abroad. If an Irish person is murdered abroad, they can be tried here. There's certain offences with children abroad that can be tried here, conspiracies. As arising out of our EU membership, we implemented legislation in 2005, and this is criminalising behaviour that occurs outside the borders of Ireland. So the first thing they do is they schedule a large number of offences which are captured by the legislation, and all the offences that you would expect are there: murder, rape, torture, firearms offences, explosives offences. But they graft onto that an additional intention. And it's something of a tongue twister, but you must, for instance, if you commit murder abroad for it to be a terrorist offence, it must be done with the intention of seriously intimidating a population, compelling a government or an international organisation to perform or abstain from performing an act, or seriously destabilising or destroying the fundamental political, constitutional, economic or social structures of a state or an international organisation. So you commit an offence. If you commit an offence on the schedule, which is murder, firearms, explosives, rape, if you have that additional intention, or if you threaten to commit an offence of that sort, or if you aid and abet, or if you're a member of an organisation which advocates engaging in those acts. That's basically the remit of the legislation. It's fairly complicated, unchartered territory, and has never seen the inside of a courtroom.
Okay, well, stay with us, Michael, because earlier on Morning Ireland, her solicitor, Lisa Smith's solicitor, Darragh Machen, denied that she was involved in any terrorist organisation. Just have a listen to this.
Lisa has categorically denied involvement in any terrorist offence or terrorist organisation. As many will be aware, or maybe unaware, for people to publicly remove or disassociate themselves from ISIS in itself is unprecedented and unheard of, especially for somebody who's in the camp at that particular time. So we are of the view that the evidence at this stage is inherently weak, that it does not point to terrorist offences. And as such, we believe that Lisa's a very, very strong case to make and is currently making that case.
And Dara Makan was also asked about the fact that Lisa had admitted she was a supporter of Islamic State but denied that this meant she was guilty of an offence.
And we must be clear that the word Islamic State is not necessarily a direct link to ISIS. Of course, there are all those connotations. However, it does not mean, and it certainly is Lisa's case, and it has been Lisa's case from the first interview, that term does not mean that she was a member of ISIS. Yes, it is correct to say that the political connotations in this side of the world, in particular to what we would understand Islamic State to be directly linked with ISIS, that is correct. However, the words Islamic State go much deeper than that. People can believe that the Islamic State is a euphoric place in which they should strive to go to. Now, that is not in itself a terrorist perception.
Michael O'Higgins, what's your view on this? Is it an offence to be a member of Islamic State?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, Mary. It's a question really of whether the organisation is an unlawful organisation, and the Act actually provides a fairly broad definition of what a terrorist group consists of. It engages in, promotes or encourages or advocates the commission of a terrorist activity, and a terrorist activity is the host of offences which I've outlined there. Murder, explosives, firearms would be the most obvious ones, but with that additional element that you are intimidating a population or fundamentally trying to undermine the structure of a government or of a country. So if you start at the top, you have to prove murder, you have to prove firearms, you have to prove explosives with that additional intent in a foreign jurisdiction. And that's really, really difficult. But the low-lying fruit would be a prosecution for a member of an unlawful organisation, because there you can just put forward circumstantial evidence, and that can be married to the belief of a chief superintendent that the person is a member of an unlawful organisation, and that belief of itself is evidence, and that will be a much easier offence to prosecute than, say, the principal offence.
But would it? Because if you have to depend on the word of a chief superintendent, and this is an organisation located very much outside this state, how can a chief superintendent put him or herself in a role where they can attest to Lisa Smith's connection to it?
Much more easily than you would think, because the chief superintendent would give his evidence of belief, which is all that the law permits. He might then be cross-examined as to what the basis for your belief is, and he would say that he has been provided with intelligence reports from reliable intelligence agencies, setting out material which he would say would corroborate his belief. But when asked to say what that is, he would claim privilege over the material and say he can't disclose it. And that anyone defending the charge then is in the unenviable position of asking the court to scrutinise the material. The belief evidence sounds very tenuous, but actually, many convictions have been based partly on belief evidence. You now have to have something else to go with it. But it's used very regularly and very successfully by the BPP in prosecuting for membership of unlawful organisations based here. And in theory, it wouldn't be that much different for a foreign organisation.
Would a trial of this nature take place in the non-jury special criminal court?
For membership of an unlawful organisation, yes. For other offences, the default position would be judge and jury, although the DPP has an entitlement to remove the case or certify that the ordinary courts are inadequate to secure justice, in which case it would be tried before the special criminal court.
I'm going to play another clip, Michael, if you can stay with us. Lisa Smith has given interviews to media organisations. Here she is speaking to journalist Norma Costello for RTE, where she denies that she did any fighting and admits that she joined Islamic State.
I don't know if they would believe it or not, but that's the truth. You know, whether they believe it or not, that's up to them, you know. But I'm telling you from myself, I didn't fight.
A lot of people in Ireland think you're a monster.
Really? Why? What did I do? I just joined the Islamic State and now I've become a monster? How am I a monster? I came here to Islamic State and I didn't do anything.
Michael, can those interviews that Lisa Smith has given, can they be used against her?
Unquestionably, if you've said something on the record, the interview can be proved in the ordinary way, which I presume would mean calling the journalist who mightn't be too keen to come to court, but that's another day's work. And what is said becomes evidence in the trial. But being a person who is a member of Islamic State as opposed to ISIS, I mean, the test is which is the organization that is proscribed, which is the organization that's unlawful. And I gather the solicitor for her this morning spoke of that distinction in Morning Ireland. I mean, these are all matters to be teased out, but I don't see how Islamic State versus the organization of ISIS, on the surface, they certainly appear to be two quite separate and distinct things. But I'm not familiar with the ins and outs of the legislation to speak with any authority on that.
Michael O'Higgins, Senior Counsel, thank you very much.